Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Not so loud. We are going to worship the Lord this morning. I hope you're all ready. You brought your A game. Well, Father, Lord God, in all seriousness, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you are able just to help us just to lay everything down, Lord, and just to focus on you and help today set the tone for the rest of the week, Lord. And I pray, Father, that not only today as we're worshiping you, Father, and we're getting into your word, Lord, but every day this week, Lord God, we're putting you first, Father. Every day will be Sunday. Every day will be your day, Lord God. And help us to just surrender our lives even more, Father. But at the moment, Lord, we just pray, Lord God, that we're able just to worship you and just give thanksgiving. And we just we thank you that we were able to make it today. Amen.
Amen.
There's a peace that comes.
about those words, no more sorrow, no more pain. And as we're singing this, I was thinking, you know, we're reading Job to the kids and we're going through that book and just everything that man, you know, had gone through. And sometimes, you know, we think, this isn't fair, or that's not fair, or what do I have this, or I'm in pain all the time. You know, when we walk with this walk with the Lord, we're never promised everything's going to be great, or everything's going to be fine, or this is not a cakewalk. You know, sometimes things are great, and things are wonderful, you know, but sometimes we're that person that goes through all those trials. And, you know, our prize is when we're with the Lord. It's not here on earth. We keep our eyes there. No more sorrow, no more pain. And if you're one of those people that are going through those times and they're in constant pain or they're having these struggles and sorrow, but they're keeping their eyes on the Lord, you know, if it goes to be that time that you get to go with the Lord, you know, that's a testimony. People say, you know what, they went through so much, but they never gave up. And their eyes were always on the Lord. And that's fruit. So, Lord, I just pray that no matter what we're going through, Lord God, that we know that it can be a testimony, Father, whether it be things that are going great or whether things are horrible, Lord God, that we always think that we're being looked to. But, Father, we're keeping our eyes on you, Father. And as that process goes, Lord God, we don't know how seeds are going to be planted, Father, but we know that they can be, Lord God. And we just pray, Lord, that you can use us, Lord, because we belong to you, Father. Our days are short, Lord, and I pray, Father, that we can just be used, Lord.
Told me who I am.
belong to any other, Lord God, because you know what is just perfect for me and what's right for me, Lord. I love this last song because if you just listen to the words with it, you know, we're going to stand before the Lord. And sometimes I have a stinky attitude. And I can't be like, well, Lord, my husband put me in a bad mood that day. That's why I did this, or this is why I did that. Now, thankfully, we have a loving God, and He forgives us for all the stinky things that we do. But when we're standing before the Lord, it's just me and Him, you know? And as we're going through this walk, it's nice to have people around us that encourage us and love us, and I love having my husband next to me and being my best friend. But this is my walk with the Lord. And that's why I just love these words, because it says it's only you and me here now, and as we're praising Him, I just want you guys to imagine, I know it's hard because everyone's singing, but imagine this is an empty room, and you're spending time with the Lord right now, and we're worshiping Him, and we're singing to Him. And as I sing these words, that's just what I imagine. Lord God, it's only you and me, and you love me. Enjoyed that clean slate that the Lord's given you. You guys have moved on. awesome thing to know that the Lord is going to let go of all that junk. And maybe there's some of you here today that are still carrying on to that baggage, that still have a lot of things that they're either not willing to let go, they don't know how to let go, or they just can't. Father, I just pray that you just, first of all, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all of us that have received it. And we know how awesome and how light it feels just to get rid of all that junk, Lord God. When I came to you, Father, I think I had a couple house loads of baggage, Father. And when I surrendered my heart, it was all gone. There was nothing there. And Father, I pray for those, Lord God, that might just have a trunk load or a car load or more than that, Father. I pray, Father, that you teach them how to let it go. That they listen to hear your voice and your wisdom, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that you give them that longing, Lord God, to have freedom, Father, more than the longing of the things that can captivate them of the world, Lord God. Because I know for someone that has come from the world, Father, that feeling is so much more beautiful and so much more amazing and so much more addictive, Lord God. Your love, Lord God, is amazing. I pray freedom for everyone here, Lord God. I pray for bondages to be broken, Lord God, and chains to be gone. We give this day to you, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll speak to us, Lord. As I pray every single Sunday, Lord God, I pray that our hearts are open and our ears are open, Lord. Help us just to be that blank slate so that we can learn, Lord God, and get ourselves out of the way.
Want to keep singing that song, don't you? Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Okay, the first thing you need to have, I ask for prayer. My kids did
an amazing job this weekend, but some of the ladies are away this weekend. And some of the wives, the mommies, for a little retreat there, a little mommy retreat weekend. And you can tell which of the guys whose wives went by how we look right now. Nate, how do you look?
I'm dragging it.
I know, so am I. My kids were really wonderful. We had four boys. They all helped. It was amazing. But, you know, you get a new appreciation for your wives when they're gone. So I have a wonderful appreciation. So if you see me just sort of nod off in the middle of the teaching, just let me shake me a little bit, and that'd be fantastic. Okay, well, we have a couple things that we want to go over real quick before we get into the Word. And, let me go through a couple of these really quickly. Okay, All right. Hey, two things, George. One is I'm almost positive that's last week's and not the one I was working on that was up on my computer. Did you double check that? Let me see really quickly, guys. Just bear with me. Just ignore the man clicking through all the Bible studies and things like that. Paying no attention to. I know there's a lot of, I can tell by my slides. I know there's a lot of them, so. Okay, you guys know. Okay, here we go. Couple more. Boy, there's a lot of them. You guys broke a little. Oh, yeah. It's the other one, George. Well, anyway, let me go through a few of these really quickly, and hopefully, George, you can pull up that other one off the other computer. But a couple things I want to mention to you. Normally, for December, we were doing an outreach where we were doing these action packs for the Syrian refugees, and then also Bibles for restricted nations going out to North Korea and to China. And so I want to make sure, normally we have the kids in there, but since a lot of the wives are gone, they want to take on that project. Also, there's a lot more stars. Each one of those stars represents a Bible that's going out, represents a word going out from this church. My goal was to have like maybe 50 of those action packs for Syrian refugees that presented the gospel, and also Bibles going out. We'll have the exact number next week. We'll have it brought in here. But basically, there's got to be, it's got to be maybe 200-300 in December that's going out from this church. And so praise the Lord for that. And also, you know, we did that card collection for the Barnabas Prison Ministry. For those of you who've been a part of this church for a while, in December too, we just collected all the cards to give those away for the folks in the prison. So those folks who are saved now and that they want to reach out and to their family and whatnot. And we collected almost 500 cards in December. Thank you for bringing that in, guys. What a blessing that those will be able to go out and to just bless other people. We have a few Bible studies that are going on this week. And Tuesdays, I think, is the women's Bible study. And so that's going on this Tuesday here at Home Fellowship Church. And what time is the...
7 o'clock or early.
Does anybody remember?
6:30 fellowship.
Yeah, 6:30 fellowship, 7 o'clock Bible study.
But they're showing the War Room this Tuesday.
Okay, is that what they're doing? Okay, they're showing the War Room movie. I said, you haven't seen that movie. That was a really great movie. And so we'll be showing that here for the women. And so it'd be a good thing to come see. So just want to invite you out. So 6:30 fellowship to 7 p.m. for the start. Also, Wednesday is youth at Manatee County Youth for Christ. And so, woo! And we have that going on. Also, Anthony, where is he? Is he here? Oh, he's playing hooky. I won't say that his wife went with him on that trip. So he's in trouble. Anyway, we have that youth trip coming up in a few weeks. I'm trying to think what else. Thursday, Share Jesus Without Fear. I was so encouraged from this body. We have a couple of people asked if they could still join and they wanted to take the course. The answer is yes. And so it's Thursday nights. Last week was just the intro. And so if you want to come and learn how to share your faith in a way, just using the Word of God, trusting in the Holy Spirit, if you would like to learn to share Jesus without fear, Thursday night, we want to welcome you to come out here. What time, Linda?
6:30.
6:30 to 8:30. And there was, I think with that additional two people, there are 20 people from this church that are taking that course. Now, that's awesome, because usually the classes that are the smallest usually have to do with prayer and evangelism, which are probably some of the most important things. Hi, Sue. And so I was so blown away that 20 folks are coming, wanting to learn how to share their faith. So, and that was open to the teens, too. We opened it up. Nobody pressured anybody. But there's five teens now from the youth group that wanted to come and join in on that, too. That is exciting to me. Nobody's cajoling them, or they're just wanting to learn how to share their faith. So if you're interested in that and you want to come this Thursday, you are welcome. I know we're missing some books. I ordered more than enough that we had signed up, but of course we had a lot more people come. So the rest of those workbooks should be here maybe Tuesday. If you want to call me, I'll try to get some to you. Okay. Is there anything else that I'm forgetting? Because they're coming up with the slides. Going once? All right, I know you are. All right, well, let's take a minute and let's pray. Father, I just want to say again, thank you for a relationship with you, Lord God. Thank you for knowing you. Thank you for loving you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Giving us your Son, Lord God, that whoever would believe in you would not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you for empowering us with the power to live a godly life, a life that honors you. Lord, that's set apart, that's holy, Lord God. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord, that is in abundance, Lord. I can't even understand it. Lord, your mercy, your grace is beyond measure, Lord God. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you would work in each person's heart here today, Lord God, that you would encourage them, that you would instruct them, that you would correct them, that you would rebuke them, Lord, including me first, Lord God. That you would speak, that you would teach us today, Lord God, as we get into your word. Lord, we thank you for your heart here. We thank you for your word here. We thank you for your spirit. And we ask that you would do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine in and through our lives as we reach out to other people, Lord. Bless this little group of people, Lord God. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Before we get started, too, if anyone did not receive one of these, if you are a regular here at Home Fellowship Church, if God has called this to be your home, there's a lot of wonderful churches in our area, but if God has called you to this one, there's a little questionnaire that we are handing out over the next few weeks, and it looks like this. So, Sue, do you have, where's Sue here? Sue, yes. If anyone did not get one of these questionnaires, would you just raise your hand? It's just something great. Okay, feedback in the back. Okay. Would you raise your hand? We just want to put this in your hands. Basically, there's no right or wrong answers. It's just basically asking some things to help us determine what God is doing in the body. And so, just an example. You have to put your name on it. There's a little box back there. We want you to take it home. We want you to pray about it. Just as an example, I won't say a name here, but there's about 8 questions, and we just want you to answer honestly. One person handed one in last week, so I'm grabbing this. And I'll just go with the first 2 questions with you. How has home fellowship or this body been a blessing to you? What do you see or sense from the Lord that we're doing right in following Jesus so we can continue to do that? And I'm going to try to read this. It says, in my previous history with church, I could never truly learn. Yet once I started coming to home fellowship, it's become another home to me. I feel safe and more open to expressing my opinions, including the fact that every time I need answers biblically, I receive them in one way or another. That's awesome. Number 2 was, are there any specific things or directions that we should work at changing here at Home Fellowship Church, or direction you personally think God wants us to go? And then it says, I believe we should be more inclusive in the community, and even in the world, and take more action going out together. And so those are good things. And there's a bunch of interesting things. The box looks right there. You can put your name or not. It doesn't matter to us. Just put it in there. We want to hear from you. So take it home. Pray about it. And we appreciate you doing that. Because God speaks to each one of us. This is not a one-man show. This is the body. And God speaks to each one of us, right? Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay. All right. Well, open your Bibles to the book of Jude. Elijah, Joe, could you grab some Bibles? If you guys don't have a Bible, raise your hand, and Elijah and Joe will bring one to you.
You have the wrong one.
What? Now, probably not.
No. It was up on my computer. It was the most recent one in Jude. If not, I'll just...
It said today. Today's day.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't look like it. Yeah. All right, let me get this up. It should be the last one saved, George. It should be Jude. It's the only one saved on my computer. And the last one. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. We're very informal here. Okay. All right, I don't know if this microphone is on.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's read through the first little bit as we're trying to pull that up. And we'll go through from there. All right, we're in the book of Jude. We've been there 2 weeks. And I think we're on verse 3. Yeah. Jude, this massive book of 1 chapter. There's just a lot in it. God's word is so packed, right?
Amen.
I mean, isn't that incredible? There's just so much. Do you guys remember Jude, half-brother Jesus, who wrote this? It's verses 1 to 3 are written to the friends of the Lord, and verses 4 to 19 are written about the enemies of the Lord, and verses 20 to 25 are written about victory in the Lord. And that's what we have. We talked about in verse 1. Debbie Jo, would you mind reading, just starting in verse 1? Okay.
Verse 1, okay. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James.
Keep going.
To those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father, and kept by Jesus Christ.
That's right. He's talking to Christians. We went through a lot of that. Those who are called, who are loved by God the Father, are kept by Jesus Christ. I love that. And then it says what in verse 2, Debbie Jo?
Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance.
That's great. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Or some of your translations say, be multiplied. And I love God's math, because when we come to know Him, that's what happens. Mercy, grace, peace, love is multiplied within us. It's a supernatural thing. It's not a natural thing. That's what a relationship with Jesus Christ brings. Then it goes on to say in verse 3. Go ahead and read that.
Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints.
Okay. And that right there, man, he felt he wanted to write about this common salvation and encourage everybody. And then all of a sudden, he's like, the Holy Spirit was prompting him, urging him to do something different. That they had to contend for that faith. And we remember that word is only used once in the Bible. That word contend, and the root word is agonizomai, and that means to agonize over. It's epic agonizomai, and that just means to, like an epic struggle, like a wrestling match, like a fight. And you remember we talked about, you know, what that kind of reminded me of was the Rocky movies. And there's a new one that just came out. Rocky's training the new guy. But, you know, in those Rocky movies, man, he was a fighter. He had to contend for the faith. And he's saying, I want you to contend for the faith. He's like, I want you to fight. And the word is always talking about us, how we're supposed to fight, how we're supposed to battle, how we're supposed to struggle. We're not supposed to be overfed, stuffed, fat couch potatoes. Right? Yeah, I'll fight for the faith tomorrow. How are some practical ways? What are practical ways that he's saying, I want you to contend. I want you to fight. I want you to agonize to the bitter end, right? That's what I want. I want you to have that struggle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and heavenly places. I want you to fight. I want you to fight the good fight of faith and not give up. Revelation says that he who overcomes will get that gift. What are some practical ways, guys, the practical ways that we should be contending for the faith? I mean, what is it, Gary?
Well, when we forgive those who sin against us.
Absolutely. We show, because who forgives nowadays in the world? Is anybody?
Nope.
Is that common?
Nope.
I wouldn't, apart from the supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit in honoring my Father in heaven. Absolutely. When you do that, that's contending for the faith, because that's not the way of the world. What's another practical way that we contend for the faith?
Prayer.
What?
Prayer.
Prayer. Absolutely. People probably think of prayer as a waste of time. Right? But you guys who know the Lord know the power of prayer. The supernatural power of prayer. That's good. How else do we contend for the faith? Dave?
Talk to talk and walk to walk.
Ah! Uh-huh. Not just talk to talk, but walk to walk. Hallelujah! Absolutely. I've seen enough of talkers. I want some walkers. That's absolutely right. You fight for the faith by living it out. You don't say one thing and live another way. Jesus called that a hypocrite, an actor. It's great. Good. What else? I saw other hands go up. Yes?
Truly trusting Him in all circumstances.
Truly trusting Him in all circumstances. Elaborate on that, Sue, would you? Nice.
Well, a lot of times things get real, you know, people might treat us wrong, or our finances might look bad, or something bad, you know, tragic happens in our family, or, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens in our lives, and I think a lot of times we're tempted to just, you know, complain and moan and groan because this happened to us, when we should be trusting God completely that in everything He is supreme and He's going to work in our lives and there's a purpose.
Yes. Good. What else, guys? What are practical ways? What would you tell somebody who's coming up under you that how we contend for the faith, how we fight for the faith? How do we do that?
Yeah, reach out to somebody that needs encouragement, mm-hmm. and or even a compliment, or just that you appreciate what they're doing.
I think, yeah, just reaching out to somebody and encourage them, and encourage them in the Lord. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's that. Good. Excellent. What else?
Bringing people to church and Bible study.
Absolutely. Letting that Word of God get into
bring
them.
Bringing in the shoes.
Exactly. Calming them in. Bringing in the shoes. Yes. Good. What else?
Blessing somebody when they are just using you and hurting you.
Yes.
Just actually really blessing them no matter what.
Who does that? Nobody. Would any of us do that if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ?
No.
Fight for the faith. Because, as the days grow more wicked, the days grow darker, as it gets colder out there, the love of most, it says in Scripture, will grow cold. That's a reality. We need to be relying on His power. Do we fight this battle in our own strength?
Mm-hmm. No.
If you do, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be upset. You're going to be angry. You're not going to get it. If you're fighting your own power, you're fighting a losing battle. But if you fight in the strength and the power of the Lord, He says, be strong. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Lord, fill me with love again today. Father, help me to forgive this person. Help me to want to forgive this person. Help me to bless those who persecute me and use me and say bad things and spitefully use me. Lord, help me to do that. Lord, I want to pray. Who do you want me to pray for? What do I need to be in prayer about? Help me to walk the walk, Lord, not just talk the talk. I need your power in the situation. Lord, the sin is digging into me. Get it out in Jesus' name. That's where the power comes. Good. What else? I saw some other hands go up, so I want to make sure that I get everybody.
Going along with what you're saying, though, I think a lot of people have trouble forgiving themselves.
Yeah.
Asking for forgiveness for themselves, mm-hmm. not necessarily what somebody has done to me.
What would you guys say to that?
Amen.
Okay, that's
thank you. It's easy to forgive somebody else, but it's not easy for me to forgive me. Why? Because I know me. I know what I've done. And like nobody else on this earth does, except the Lord Jesus Christ knows that. But I'm not unique in that. We're all the same. We know ourselves. It's like we read the Bible and it says, this applies to everybody but me.
Right.
Because of what I did, and I know that this is worse. And I know that that is a lie from the pit of hell.
That's right.
Okay? And that's why, lately, I've been praying, Lord, take me to the end of me so that I can be completely dependent on you. Help me to yearn for you.
Yes.
Or just die to myself.
Yes.
It's like polishing a piece of stone.
But the Lord, do you think the Lord doesn't know? Is it like, does He think, Adam, you idiot! I can't believe you did that. I'm so shocked by that.
No.
Does your Lord know these things already?
No.
Did He know when you were
kid? He knew it already, before I was born.
That's right.
But I was an idiot.
I knew you. That's right. And you know what? He loves you anyway. That's your God. So.
Someone told me once that you can't disappoint the Lord because He already knows.
Yeah, so. Yes, I hear your heart. We can grieve Him.
Yes.
His Holy Spirit. But He's, I know you. I know you're made like dust. I love you. He is right there. All you have to do is turn around. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we're the one that moves.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times when we're in that situation, we're relying on feelings because we're saying, I know God forgives this person after person, but I'm having a hard time forgiving myself. Well, we aren't capable of forgiving ourselves. We don't have the authority to forgive ourselves. That's not what God is talking about. God forgives us. We don't have to forgive us. What we're struggling with is what we've done and how we've been, and as we trust God, and it's a trust issue, a belief issue, that he actually does forgive us, and then move out into the kingdom and start living in the kingdom and doing what's right, then our feelings change. Yeah. Because now we are doing what's right. Our life changes, and we start to feel good about ourselves because we have actually changed our actions. You know, but we have to be careful, you know, not to rely on feelings and false ideas of forgiving ourselves.
If I relied on feelings, I wouldn't be able to get up here. I feel incapable. Yet I step out in faith and trust in the Lord. And when we do that, in obedience, in faith, He does awesome things. That's our God.
It's so important nowadays with the word content that we recognize that we need to defend, or not in the defensive, that God's word doesn't need defending, but it's like somebody said, just let it loose and it'll, let it out of the cage. But the thing is that we do need to, we're living in a day and age where there is so much false teachers, lying teachers, that like this Bible says right here, we're going to talk, they rise up from among you.
That's right.
And they may have been...
Don't steal my thunder.
They may have been people that have walked with the Lord, that have done great things, that have had a wonderful reputation, but somewhere along the way, and we need to be able to know God's word, to be able to speak the truth when there's... Because Tom and I were just talking about a false teacher recently, about how this person believes, I can't believe that God would cause people to not be able to love each other and live with each other if that's what they want. So they're in favor of homosexual marriages and homosexual lifestyles and immoral lifestyles. Yes. Because after all, God is all about love. And so He wants people to love. So why would He be against anybody who wants to love each other and live with each other, even if they're homosexual? After all, they were born that way.
Well,
they can't help.
And part of contending for the faith is standing firm. And after you've done everything, right, to stand. Exactly. And are we standing in our own power and strength?
No.
We're standing in His power and strength. And what are we standing upon?
The word.
You gotta know it.
You gotta know it.
You gotta what?
You gotta know it.
Really?
That's right.
Oh man.
You gotta feel it.
And does that some effort in there?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, well, if you missed the last 2 weeks, we talked a lot about training and boxing. We had lots of scriptures up there, so you can go online at homefellowship.com and listen to that, or see George in the back, and he'll get you a CD. We'll pack the scriptures and how we need to be in training. But it's so right on. And honestly, Gloria, that's a good segue into the next family, because it says it once and for all. Again, the faith was once and for all entrusted to the saints. It's done. Entrusted, paradidomai, is the Greek there. And it basically, it's that word is delivered, but it's just like, I'm giving you something precious. I want you to take care of it. God is, if He was done with you, you'd be gone. You'd be up in heaven. He's saying, I'm giving you something precious. I'm giving you my precious word. I'm giving you my heart through this word, these love letters. I'm giving it to you, entrusting it to you, so that you can pass it on to the next person. If someone who comes up under you, sees the battles that you're going through, that watches you, that are looking to see, are you going to give up, or are you going to continue to fight? Are you going to fight the good fight of faith? Are you going to win the prize? You know what I'm saying? That's what they're seeing. And it says, once and for all, deliver to the saints. But the neat thing, we ended it last week with this, that we fight from victory, not for victory. Because the victory was won on the cross by Jesus' blood shed for you. When you accepted that, you accepted Him, that substitutionary atonement, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing you from all sin, when you bent your knee to the Lord, He won the victory already. The fight's done.
Yes.
You just got to get in the ring and keep going. It's like, what is it like? Okay, it's like during the Rocky movies. Okay, for those of you been here for the last bunch of weeks. Okay, you know, Sylvester Stallone read the script and knows in the end he's going to be Dolph Lundgren in Rocky, whatever it was, 111. And so he knows he wins. Well, you've got that same script. God has written you the script.
That's right.
And he's telling you, you've already won. Just continue. Step by step in his strength and power.
And this is how you fight.
And this is how you fight. And this is how you train. But he's already won. What?
You're going to have to heal too. You're going to get busted up and then you get bloody. You're going to get bludgeoned.
That's right. But that Holy Spirit is there putting on that cut cream. You know what I'm saying? You know, on June 6, 1944, many folks probably know what that is. Dwight D. Eisenhower issued the command to do something amazing that turned the tides of the war in World War II. At 4 a.m., 155,000 people made their way across the English Channel. It was the greatest single military invasion in all of world history. Having been told only 1 in 3 would likely be returned from this incursion, they landed on the beaches of France. They had little code names like Juno, Utah, those type things, Gold, and most famously was Omaha Beach. And so as they landed on the shores, the enemy had already been entrenched and established. Your enemy, the devil, and his demons are already entrenched and established, okay? And so they began to fight round after round at those 155,000 brave soldiers, attacking them, picking them off as they landed on the beach. And so 10,000 men lost their lives on Omaha Beach alone on that 155,000. 10,000 on that brutal, bloody day on D-Day. Yet the Allied soldiers kept coming. They kept coming wave after wave after wave until they demolished the strongholds of the enemy. And that is what's going to happen. As you stand firm in Christ, as you get the mind of Christ by transforming, by the power of his word, as the Holy Spirit works, as you choose to obey, as you learn by experience, you trusting in God and obeying his word, those strongholds are demolished. And until those high towers that the Nazis were firing from all came down. And that's what happens as you continue to stay in the fight. That's what happened. God brings down those high towers, brings them down and levels them. Had the Allies failed, Germany would have dominated Europe and probably the world. But even though that was the greatest military invasion of all times in history, even though the victory was won, when that Allied invasion succeeded, Hitler and the boys in Berlin knew their days were numbered. And they knew they didn't have a chance, but they continued fighting. They went back, they retreated, they would burn everything they could, right? You remember that? They would burn everything, they would destroy everything as they were retreating. That's what the enemy is doing right now. See, he's trying to burn as many of you as he can. He's trying to destroy as he's retreating, as the day is coming near, as his end is coming, as the King of Kings is coming back. He's trying to take down as many of you as he can, destroy your hope, destroy your love, destroy your encouragement, destroy your faith, take it all down, burn it. That's what he wants to do. That's what he's trying to do. But they continued. And that's why more people died in that last year, honestly, than all of World War II that last year. You know, Romans 8:37 says this. It says that in Christ we are more than conquerors. Right? And what is a conqueror? What is a conqueror? You don't need any fancy Greek words. I'm just asking you. One who wins the fight. That's absolutely right. So what is someone who is more than a conqueror?
He wins without fighting.
Because of his power.
Because who's fighting for you?
He not only wins the fight, he wins the war.
And you already know. So the enemy's just going to try to get in your head, discourage you, depress you, give up, quit, blah, 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 blah. Lie, lie, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. You follow and fix your eyes on Jesus. Not looking to the left, not looking to the right. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Not a church, not a denomination, not a pastor, not people, on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. I don't even know where my clicker is. All right. Victory. Hey, that was good. Yeah, I don't know if you put that there.
That's what Brock is great about our church.
There you go. Good. All right. All right, this next section in Jude. Okay, so now, hey, we're going to get to verse 4. Okay, so verse 4, folks. Debbie Jo, would you mind reading that for
us? I'm ready.
You're ready. Go for it then.
Ready. All right. Okay, for certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord.
Yeah. So he's telling us, this is who you believe. This is you. All these verses ahead. You're loved. You're kept. You're preserved. You're filled with mercy, grace, peace. I want you to contend for the faith because you're already victory. Now he's going to get to, because these guys are going to come in among you. Well, that's other churches, right?
Nope.
Does that include this church?
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? Look what verse 4 says. Certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago. Now, he's not naming specific people. It's not like it was written about, like, in the Bible. Okay, Joe Schmidt is going to come in here. If there's a Joe Schmidt here, I mean, no disrespect. He's going to come and secretly slip in the church. And no, he's talking about those who set themselves against God. They're going to try to draw men after themselves. That's who their condemnation is written. There's blessings and curses, life and death. You either follow the Lord or you do not. And if you don't, that condemnation is a done deal. You can't stay where you have to go with God. You can't stay where you are and go with God at the same time. You can't be against God's commandments and say you're Christian. You can't. And so their condemnation was written about long ago. And it says, for certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among us or among you. Some of your translations say crept in. Mm-hmm. What do you think that says to you about these? And could that be women too? Do you think it means that?
Yeah.
Is that like, okay, so all men are bad?
They're demons.
Yeah. It means men and women.
Yeah.
It means people are going to creep in to the church. Okay? What does that say to you, first off, that they...
They come in quietly. They don't make too much noise in the beginning. Then they slowly work their poison through the church.
Absolutely. Good.
I don't think they even know who they are themselves.
Or else they be deceived. Yeah. And
I think some do, honestly.
Well, they do it, but I'm saying they don't necessarily are aware of who
correct.
They are themselves.
I agree. Yes, ma'am. I agree with that. You know, some have an agenda. They want, they're creeping in. When it says secretly crept in or secretly slipped in, that says to me they're kind of, it's to me that says they're being deceitful about
devious.
It. So, but there are going to be some people who come in and don't even know. Those will be the ones that are being influenced by people like that. But there are certain folks that are going to sneak in, purposely, slip in, crept in. That Greek word, I can't remember, it's pernis, I can't remember, but anyway, what it means is to steal in. Or lodge stealthily. So what he's saying is they're going to come in. You're not going to be able to really recognize them.
No.
They're not going to have false teacher, false prophet. They're not going to say those things, right? Listen.
But it's not going to be easy because when they do come, they're going to be so equipped to fool you. And if you're not, ready, and you don't have God totally in your life,
yes.
And you're not armored, you won't be able to fight them, you won't be able to recognize them.
Yes. Now listen, I agree with that 100%. Now here's the thing, honestly, I think, that's right up. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. I want us to read two things. What scares me, honestly, at the church today, now I'm not one of these guys where I think, but I think God wants us to be on guard. There's a lot of destructive heresies coming in, a lot of people preaching for the wrong. I mean, there's so much, honestly.
Yep.
As a Christian, let alone a pastor, I'm overwhelmed by it. It scares me. And maybe you don't know about it yet. And that scares me too. So I'm calling the alarm, I'm the watchman on the wall. Woo! Whatever your order does, I don't know, does a train whistle, but you get it. Acts chapter 20, go to verse 29 to 31. And if I remember that correctly, I think Paul was, meeting with the leaders of the church and telling him he wasn't going to be back. I think it was leaders of Ephesus. I'm going there now. Give me a second. But, and he was telling them these things. Well, somebody read verses 29 to 31. Oh, George, you want to read it? Thanks. Yeah, Acts chapter 20, verses 29 to 31.
For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter into among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears.
Yeah. I mean, he's saying, I'm warning you, night and day, it's going to happen. He says, listen, verse 29, I say savage wolves will come, basically he's saying come from the outside, and then they'll also come from the inside. They're going to distort the truth. It's not going to be a lot. You know, if you ate a meal, your favorite meal, whatever that is, and your wife puts in a little arsenic in it, let me tell you what, it's still going to kill you.
It'll taste good, too.
It might taste delicious, but it's going to kill you. So they're going to put it in a way that they distort the truth. They want to draw people after themselves. They want to build the kingdom of whatever. That's what they want to do. People want that. Moses was like, remember Moses? Moses was like, hey, Lord, maybe you can get somebody else to lead your people. Aaron, how can you? Listen, you want folks, if you're here today, and you're wanting to be a leader, that's not a bad thing. But I want to encourage you, you want to draw people to the Lord, to his heart, to his word, to his spirit. And I want you to see something else. He's warning them. And then he says in verse 27 and 28, go up a few, okay? If you want to be, and if you're here, you're shepherding somebody. Maybe it's your kids, maybe it's a friend, you know, whatever. But verse 27 says, here's how we combat that. I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole counsel of God. Do you know how many Bibles sit on the shelves unread? You know how many Christians? I'm not saying you. I'm sure it's another church. But you know how many Christians? This is not... Well, I was going to say, is it a guilt thing?
Yeah, sure.
The point isn't to make you feel guilty. The point is to warn you and plead with you. Folks don't know the scriptures. Like, when I hear some things that people say, I think, oh, my Lord, don't you know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
He says, I haven't failed to preach the whole counsel of God. All of it. You know what I'm saying? It's all useful. It's all profitable. It'll all help you. You have to know the whole thing. If you don't, those people are going to come in, like you said. They're going to know certain doctrines, certain things, and throw a couple scripture verses to back it up to make it. If you don't know it all in its entirety, man, you're going to be easily led astray. So you should be reading this on your own. Start the New Testament. You've never done it. Start with one book of the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Go through it. Pray every time. Lord, will you speak and teach to me? If you want teachings, I've got MP3 players that will loan you or gift you, whatever it takes. They'll take you through books of the Bible where you can just learn it verse by verse. And you can be encouraged by it. We'll give it to you for free just so you can do it. If you need a devotion, want to go through the New Testament, we'll give you one. It'll take you through the New Testament with comments from Billy Graham or Beth Moore or whatever. We want you to be in the Word for yourself so that you'll be able to take your stand. And then it says, I've not failed to preach the whole counsel of God. He says, keep watch over yourselves and the flock of which God is... the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds. One thing a shepherd needs to be is a protector. You need to protect this body. I'm not saying you attack everybody who comes in the door. I'm just saying a good shepherd who loves his sheep is going to make sure that wolves don't sleep in. Well, that's a whole other sermon right there. Talk about sexual immorality there. That is a lot too. But slip in. Creep in. Yes, Sue.
I was going to say, the way they teach people to recognize counterfeit money is to know the real thing completely, as well as you know your own face. You know, so they don't teach them the counterfeits.
Yes.
They just teach them the real thing.
Exactly.
And that's how we guard against counterfeit.
That's exactly right. Know the real thing. You know, I would almost say, don't listen to me, but
Test all things.
Be a Berean. Acts chapter 17, the Bereans were more noble because they checked out what they were being taught. That's what you should do. Mm-hmm. Who? What if I got wacky someday? God forbid, in Jesus' name. You know? You check it out for yourself. And some of those doctrines, they slip in so subtly. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. This is in Matthew. You will know them by their fruits. Hit those lights, Joe, for a second. This is what Neely, I don't know if Neely's here today, but anyway, Anna's here. But anyway, Neely drew this. She was inspired by Anthony back there, his artistry. So she kind of drew this. And this is a great little illustration of that, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can kind of see the dead little wolf, the lambskin over the wolf. Mm-hmm. See, they all have their Bibles out, and yet there's a little wolf in there. Mm-hmm. See, the little, man, that's how they're going to sneak in. He's got the Bible up. He's got the Jesus speak, right?
Corrupt the congregation.
Yes. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time some will turn away from the true faith." That is sad. They will follow deceptive spirits who are influencing people, and they will and teachings that come from demons. Listen, if you're here today and you think that, I mean, don't disrespect you. In any way, if you think that, God, do you want me to say it or not? Right now. No, I'm not okay. All right. That's tough. Okay. 2 Peter 2:1 in the New Living Translation says this. This is verse 1 and 2. "But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you." Says they will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who brought them. Ugh. Imagine if people were cleverly trying to maybe make money for themselves and live in a big mansion. Imagine they were doing that and saying it was God. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? It says, "In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves." They're already condemned. They're written about long ago. It says, "Many," listen to this, "not even a few," it says, talk about believers, "many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality." That's another thing that's going to, you're going to know about these teachers. Their immorality, God bless you. "And because of these teachers, the way of the truth will be slandered." Could you imagine if the way, if Christianity was being slandered by unbelievers because of Bible teachings or sexual immorality? Imagine that even happening.
Yeah,
it is.
Big time.
Big time. Don't let that be true with you, kids. You can hit that light for everybody falls asleep, Joe. Thanks. "A time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, feeding the word of God, right? The church will have clowns entertaining the goats." That is Charles Spurgeon.
Wow. He was right on.
He sure was.
Imagine Charles Spurgeon. Everybody wants us to call him. A lot of people do. Old fashioned. He's old fashioned. Who wants to listen to him anymore? People that, yes, he lived way back, and after all, he's not relevant today.
Yeah.
But this is very relevant.
He's not relevant. I think he's not cool.
That's not cool.
Who is he?
That's right.
I said,
who is
he? He's a preacher of the gospel, of the word of God. Sue, what does that say? Sue, it's right above your head. Up on the, would you read that nice and loud? Yep, nice and loud. Yes, ma'am. A Bible who's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Yeah, it's virgin. I love my Bible. I love it. But if I turn the pages too quickly, it's been retaped, it's been rebound, pages fall out, because it gets read a lot. That's the way we all need to be comfortable, okay? If that's not you right now, let that be. Pick a book in the New Testament, start reading it. Chapter 1, verse 1, read it through to the end, go to the next one. All right. 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 3 says to preach. I still remember Alistair Ben saying this at a conference. I can't help speaking his, you know, it's like, right, you know, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Don't get people to have the hammer, but for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. I can't tell you that if you follow Jesus, you're going to be a millionaire. I'm not going to tell you that because the Bible doesn't tell you. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to be problem free if you follow Jesus. That's not true. That's not what the Bible says. People are going to gather. Listen, you have to be careful of that. Are you gathering? I want to just be blessed. I remember this teenager, I gave her Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Sanders. Is it over yet? Is that what I said? James. What did I say? Colonel Sanders. Sorry. Anyway, Chambers, whatever. Okay. Anyway, it's this little, it's a Utmost for His Highest. It was the first thing I got before I was reading the Bible. And it's not an, it's a great devotional, but it's, and I remember giving this to this teenager, and it talks about, you know, persevering in the faith. And I remember this teenager just said, I read it, I was Mr. Schellenberger, her, because she respected me, she read it, she's like, but she went to a different kind of church, she's like, yeah, but I just want the blessings. No, that's part of it. Yes, the blessings are part, but it's not. Okay. All right, so here we go. All right, back to Jude here. Man. Okay, back to Jude. Okay, this is my ADD speaking. I just remembered, since my wife was gone, I didn't eat breakfast this morning. You know what I'm saying? It's only going to be about 15 minutes and I'm going to be crashing hard. Okay.
You want those cookies? You want those cookies from this morning?
I know. Yeah, but I crashed right after it, so yeah. Probably. All right, let me get back to you. Give me just a second, kids. All right. They secretly slipped in among you. They're godless men. That word godless there, it means ungodly, like in Romans. It says asavas. It means destitute of reverential awe of God. They're going to be godless men. They're not going to have any fear of the Lord. Okay? I understand. God is love, and that is amazing. It is super. But you can't take the fear of the Lord away from that, that reverential awe. Psalm 111 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's where it starts, that reverent respect. Not like, rah, boogeyman. The fear of the Lord in Hebrew is, if I remember correctly, is yarah. And that means reverential respect. Mm-hmm. You can tell these false teachers, these ungodly men and women, because they will not fear the Lord. They're going to live however they want. There should be that reverential respect for the Lord. Just like Isaiah, seeing God high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and he said, oh, woe is me, Lord, I'm unclean. I'm unclean amongst unclean people. I've seen the Lord. In the book of Acts, it says they lived in the fear of the Lord. But that doesn't mean they were like scared all the time, but they had that reverential respect. Yeah. So do we. So need we. If you're looking for scripture verses on your own, you can look at Psalm 111, 10, and also
Proverbs
Acts
9.
Proverbs what?
Proverbs 111, not Psalms.
All right, somebody look up Psalm 111, 10. I could be wrong. I might have read it wrong.
Psalm
111, 10.
Psalm 1 only goes to 6.
Psalm 111, 10.
111.
Verse 10.
111.
111.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The good understanding is
now. I take that back.
All those
okay. But it's also in Proverbs. It's also there. You know, so that's okay. Repetition. God wants to remind us of these things.
111.
Also in Acts chapter 9:31, they lived in the fear of the Lord. So they're not going to have that. And it says, they secretly slipped into godless men, asavas, and they changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality. I can get drunk, right? God's grace covers it, right? I can sleep with my girlfriend, right? God's grace covers it, right? Am I right?
No.
Huh? I can blow all my money on wild living, right? God's grace, am I right? Huh? Yeah. Grace covers it, right?
Don't take advantage of it.
What?
You talk about false teachers, and you can...
They're going to come in a way that you think they're teaching. They're going to come like you're a preacher. I believe that, I'm not sure. There's going to be in a way that's going to be so hidden, but you believe it. It's hard for me to explain it, but I think everybody knows what I'm trying to say.
I think so.
Just going to say that you can be a false teacher by not saying anything false, but only speaking to, you're talking about, like you're just talking about the grace. If you say nothing but, God's grace, God's grace, God's grace, and you leave out the truth part, you've missed the boat.
And I've
listened to sermons before, and even with my kids listening, we went and listened to a really great speaker.
Compared to the one you had here. No, it's okay. I'm just kidding. Bro, it's okay. I'm just kidding.
It was a nationally known speaker.
Okay, that's fine.
And we left, and I said, everything that man said was true, and everything he said was from the Bible, but there was not one word of scriptural truth, meaning showing the character of God being truth, and that he can't stand with sin, and that, we are, Jesus said, all men are evil, we're all in need of salvation, and if you leave that truth out, it lets so much in the door.
That's right. God's grace is amazing. His mercy, you guys know the difference, right? His mercy would be like you're going to the gas chamber and you get a stay of execution. God's grace is like the governor coming in, taking you out of prison, putting his own son in that prison, that gas chamber, in your place, taking you to the courthouse, changing your name, adopting you as his own son, giving you the title, the will, the mansion, everything else. That's God's grace. But we don't presume upon that grace. Do you know what I'm saying? That's an amazing thing. But there's holiness. There's godliness. That's a part of it. In fact, would you read for me? You got a couple of your kids right here. Would you read for me Titus chapter? We just got done with the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Few back. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 13. Thank you for saying. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 13. I want you guys to know, listen, God's grace is not freedom to just do whatever you want. That's crazy, Doc.
Chapter 2?
Yes, I think so. 11 to 13.
Yep.
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So what does the grace of God teach us? What does it say right there? Read it again. Say no to what? Ungodliness, worldly lust. That's right. Yes. Listen, it's not a license to sin. When Christians put about, I love that. I don't know if you know what's the name of that.
Mia first.
Mia first. Okay.
That's what
a lot of Christians are. It's like, hi, I'm Mia first. It's nice to meet you. I've got a license to sin. Paul said, in Romans 6:15, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? He said, God forbid that we do that. Joe, hit those lights for a second.
That shows a gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, that's what that word means, God forbid. I was going to get into Greek, but you get the idea. It may it never be is what it means in the Greek.
Megan,
yes, cool. But yes, that's what it, that's what it is. It may it never be. And so, anyway, that's what he's going to do. And they're not only going to do that, they're going to deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign Lord. That word kurios, kurios in the Greek, you know. In Matthew chapter 7:21, it says, there'll be many on that day who will say that, Lord, Lord, kurios, kurios. You know, didn't I do this in your name? And I said, depart from me, I never knew you. There's a difference between wanting fire insurance and getting saved and making him the Lord of your life. If you make him the Lord of your life, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. That's part of being a Christian, is bending that knee to him. Because these cults are going to come in, they're going to deny him. Give me a few minutes with the cults real quick. I'm just give me 2 seconds here. All right? This is a good... With cults and deceivers. Okay? So these cults and deceivers are going to be sneaky. They're going to try to draw men. We've read in Scripture, they're going to be sneaky. They're going to be deceitful. They're going to try to draw men after themselves. They're going to be out for money. We've read about that. They're going to be telling you to live an immoral life, whatever. God's grace covers it. it's going to be a license. So here's some things about cults and deceivers that you can take to the bank with you. If you can remember this, this is simple, but it's profound. All right, Joe, can you... Clip that off a second. Okay. Cults and deceivers do these 4 things. And this is a nice, easy way to remember. Okay? First, they add to God's word. Always. Right? Yes, Elijah.
Usually when they add to God's word, they usually add out just all the... You know how she say they just... want to hear what their itchy ears want to hear?
Right.
They usually just add... They usually just add stuff like that or whatever makes them feel comfortable.
That's right. That's right. We want you to feel comfortable in one way here, like a home. And honestly, I want you to feel uncomfortable some way if there's sin in your life. If you don't, something's wrong. But the cults and deceivers will always add to God's word. Somebody read to me Revelation 22, 18, 19, the last thing of that. Somebody read that for me.
I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book.
Yes, listen, people will always try to add to God's words. Cults, deceivers, they always do that. In other words, there's some new inspired revelation that kind of trump the Bible, or there's something you need to go along with the Bible that makes it, you know, you can't really understand it unless you have this additional material. That's usually the way it goes. And so in each case, they usually will say, hey, the Bible's a good thing. They'll even promote it. But they'll warn, it's certainly not a sufficient guide for truth. And you can't have that. It's incomplete. It's been altered. You can't understand it without, you know, this person or this organization or this denomination. Listen, in the Articles of Faith, Joseph Smith, who founded Mormonism, said this, and I'm quoting it now. He says, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God, as far as it's translated correctly. Well, that sounds okay, doesn't it? But then he also goes on to say, we also believe the Book of Mormon to be the Word of God. He said, I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth. Man would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts more than any other book. A cult, man. That is totally a cult.
Cults are never good.
Charles Russell, he's the founder of, you know, the Watchtower, you know, the folks that, Jehovah's Witnesses, as tracts of that society. They have their own version of the Bible. Do you know that? Like, I think Tom uses the New King James. Great. I used the NIV prior to 2011. I think my brother Mark uses the NASB. I think my brother Josh uses the ESV. I think Jen uses the NLT. But you know what? There's the same overall message. in each one of them. However, Jehovah's Witness have their own translation, the New World Translation, and where it would say, like, for example, Josh, who is also not here today. Anyway, Josh, who taught the kids at youth, John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, speaking of Jesus Christ. It says, in the beginning, the Word was
God.
Was with God, and the Word was a God. Listen to this. Yes, Charles, the founder of the Watchtower, he said he warned if anyone stopped reading the Watchtower publications and ignores them and goes to the Bible alone, our experience is that shows within 2 years he goes into darkness. And he explained it would have been better if they never read a page of the Bible at all. So if you read the Bible, right? That's a quote from him. So if you ignore the Watchtower's material and go to the Bible alone, well, then you're doomed. You see, they'll always do that. That's the mark. They always want to add to the Word of God. So that's the mark of a cult, so that you know. Okay? So that's it. Solo Scriptura, which means basically... Okay, we'll go to the next one. Subtract from Jesus. This is the next thing they do. They add to God's Word, and they subtract from Jesus. Okay, 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. I know, guys, let me get through this. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. And Jason, I'm going to ask you to read that Matthew verse, Matthew 16. But 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. Someone there?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to turn back on the light so you can actually read. You don't fall asleep.
Mary, you had it.
Okay. Okay, Mary? Mary, yeah. All right, go ahead, Mary. What does it say?
You said 3-4, right? But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his stability, I think, subtlety.
Subtlety.
Yeah, there you go.
Subtlety, maybe?
Yeah, that's it. So, I'm sorry, I can't read.
It's okay.
So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
So they'll always, another thing, cults, deceivers will always subtract from Jesus. So they add to God's word, usually, and they usually subtract from Jesus. Matthew 16, 13 to 16 says what?
When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God."
Amen. See, that's who he is, Emmanuel, God with us, Scripture says. Cults and deceivers would always subtract from who Jesus is. There were 21 public figures in the 20th century that claimed to be Jesus Christ alone. Jim Jones, David Koresh, Sun Myung-moon, the code of reverence, Sun Myung-moon, make me sick. Sorry, Lord. You know, here's a guy.
If someone's trying to take you away to a secluded place like that,
that should always, like, creep you
should
out.
Be revealed.
But this guy, here's a guy, okay, he claims, here's one right today, okay? You would think, who would actually fall for something like that, right?
He has a...
Okay, look at our church, okay? We're teaching the word, being faithful, right? Look how big it is. Okay, here's this guy, Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda, is the founder and leader of Growing in Grace International Ministry. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Absolutely. That sounds super. See, they're going to use the same words, but then his Jesus that he's preaching is not the same Jesus of the Bible. He says it's based in Miami, Florida, here in Florida, and he claims to be both Jesus Christ returned and the Antichrist. Has a 666 tattoo on his forearm. Hello! And he refers to himself as Jesus Cristo Hombre, which translates to Jesus Christ the Man.
Oh,
now listen to this. He preaches to followers in 35 nations, has 287 radio programs, and a 24-hour TV network. I'm trying to get a patio and a playground! You know what I'm saying? What?
You know,
I'm just saying.
Well, at least God's glad.
Guys, you know,
that's
God.
Is unreal.
666 will reimbalance.
You would think, even if somebody does. But I guess the point, now listen, guys, who Jesus is. Okay, wait, turn off the lights again, real quickly. I don't know if you saw this. Remember the Princess Bride movie? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay, if you haven't, every Christian has should be basically. Anyway, it's not a Christian movie, it's just a funny little youth movie. Anyway, there's this one, this guy always says this one thing, it's inconceivable. And then there's this one song, one scene where he goes, I do not think that word means what you think it means. So, inconceivable, you keep using that word Jesus, I do not think it means what you think it means. And I think these people use the word Jesus Christ. When I look at a lot of these cults, guys, look at Jesus of the Mormons is not Satan's brother. The Mormons think he's Satan's brother, one of many spirit children. That's what they believe.
What?
They might not... That's what they believe. Absolutely. Yep, yep. The Kingdom of Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus is just...
Michael the Archangel.
He's just an angel. Okay? Jesus of the Islam. Okay, well, we use the same thing, right? He's a prophet. He's a holy man. Let me tell you, if I remember correctly, so you can double check me on this. I remember that... Actually, you could probably tell me. Jesus of Islam is going to come back. He's like the mafia enforcer that's going to come back and kill the Christians and the Jews. He's going to say, oh, there's a Christian and Jew hiding. Go kill him. Is that right, basically? We use these words, but they're totally different. So they'll subtract from who Jesus is. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Okay? These are important things to remember. Okay? And the last two things with cults. Okay, so we're going to get through one verse. I have a little bit. So they add to God's words. They subtract from who Jesus is. He is not, you know, they're going to multiply. So add, subtract, multiply. They multiply their requirements for salvation. Okay? Joe, hit the lights for a second. Elijah, what do you have to say, son?
Can I read it?
Yes. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10.
For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by your works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Yes. So listen, we are saved by grace through faith. James talks about faith, and it's not faith or works, it's faith that works. We are saved by grace, but to do good works. Okay? And so, cults and deceivers will always multiply the requirements for salvation. In other words, a friend of ours here at church, some family members were going out to a church where... It's a cult, and you know, you can be saved by Jesus and all, but you have to give up all your worldly possessions to them.
What?
Now listen. I'm going to say something to you now, and I realize this to us who know the word a little bit, that sounds funny, but honestly, it's really not. It's disgusting and it's sad. These are people in our lives. Folks, people in lives here, this is, they're being caught and grabbed and pulled in now, today, in our area. We've got to know the word. Contend for the faith. Train, fight, read, get it in you. Lord, help me. They'll multiply this requirements. Another group, Church of God, Philadelphia Church of God, they were taught that salvation, gospel is legalism, salvation by works, not grace. One must tithe and keep the Old Testament laws, and plus Jesus, and then you're saved. Or you have to keep the Sabbath. You guys know who, maybe you know what I'm talking about. You have to keep the Sabbath day and trust Jesus, and you're saved. You see what I'm saying? They always will put something, they multiply your requirements for salvation.
Looks like they got a mouth book, add, subtract, multiply, and divide.
That's it. But that's it. And divide. And finally, the last one, adds to God's word, subtract from Jesus, multiply the requirements for salvation. Cults and deceivers divide the body of Christ. Just, Mark, I want you to look up Acts 4:12. It's not up there, but I want you to do that. Tom, John 14, 6.
Acts what?
4:12.
John 13:6.
Huh? Get for Google. Okay, you got that?
Yep.
Okay, Mark, would you read Acts? Yeah.
And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved.
Did everybody get one of these in the last couple of weeks? I meant to go over this 2 weeks ago and never got to it. Everybody get one of these? Okay? Okay. Debbie Jo, would you do me a favor? Can you stand up? Is that okay? Would you, if you did not get one of these, it just, the track says which church saves. Okay? I would like everybody to want to put it in your hand. Would you just raise your hand if you did not get one? Okay? And Debbie Jo will bring them out to you. It might take a minute, but that's okay. Keep your hand up. I want to make sure everybody has one. I want you to read it, and I want you to give it away. Listen, the Catholic Church does not save you.
No.
Calvary Chapel does not save you.
Right.
The Baptist Church will not save you. Home Fellowship will not save you. I will not save you. Jesus saves you completely. During, you know, Waco, Texas, there was a 51-day standoff between law enforcement officers and that cult leader crash.
Yep.
And according to Brian Sage of the FBI, apparently he told his followers this: you're free to go, but you need to realize that if you leave, you're leaving your eternal salvation here, and you're going out to the beast. But it's your decision. You're free to go. Very few left Koresh because he convinced them that there was no salvation outside that compound. And that's what they'll do. Mormonism's founder, Joseph Smith, claimed that Jesus told them not to join any existing churches because they're all wrong and all their creeds were abominable in his sight. So he started the Book of Mormon. Joseph Smith, Jehovah's Witness guy, says because every existing church was false, he organized, and I quote, the only true and living church upon the face of the earth. Guys, there's one truth, one hope, and one baptism, one God, one Father of all. There's one Savior, there's one way, Jesus Christ. Tom, what does your word say?
Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the life except through
me. That's it. There's one way.
Amen.
It's open to all.
And it's easy.
And it's easy.
Yeah.
But it's one way. You can't make a God of your choosing. You can't make God who you want him to be. He is who he says he is and who his word says he is. And if you don't like that, then you're not following the God of life. And we need to. Okay? Not attacking here. Just making people aware. Okay? Capiche? Hezekiah, I saw your hand up.
Can we also subtract from God's word and add to Jesus? Can you also do that?
Yeah, I guess they can. But you're ruining my whole illustration. Thanks, Hezekiah. Okay. Hezekiah gets home today. Extra work. Okay. But yes, son, that's very smart. That's thinking it through. That's good, son.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you guys. All joking aside. Yes, you're right. Yes, go ahead.
Every one verse.
Yes.
Kind of put it in perspective.
Yes, absolutely.
They got to preach the gospel.
Yes.
Paul wrote in Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you have turned away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, including Paul, or an angel from heaven, preach another gospel to you, that what we have preached to you, let him be accursed or not. Paul isn't qualified. If I change it down the road, what you already heard, and there's people that have changed, they're accursed.
Yes. Honestly, guys, if you hear me, first you ought to just take me aside, correct me. If I don't listen, you ought to rebuke me. And then you ought to just all come get me to save me from that craziness. And then if that just doesn't happen, get out of here. I'll be the first one. I'll go with you. Do you know what I'm saying? And we almost, it's a little crazy, but you'd be surprised. I'm watching it coming in. We have to stop. We have to take account. We have to get back into training. I don't care if you're 8 or 80, go back into training. Remember those cults. Add the deceivers. Add to God's word. Subtract from who Jesus is. They multiply the requirements for salvation, and they divide the body of Christ. Okay? Good. Yes, ma'am.
The word of God says that wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. And narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. So although you may seem like you're few, it's okay.
Amen. Good word. Any else? Anyone else? Yes.
Another thing, too, is that we need to, in our training, make sure that we take things and take the scripture in context.
Amen.
It has to be in context. Because, like the JWs are masters at taking the word out of context. And I heard this little ditty, and I think it's so true. But it describes the JWs here a text, there a text, everywhere, pretext. Any relation to the context is purely accidental.
That's good. I gotta try to remember that. You had to tell me again. That's good. But you know what? That's why we're always encouraging you not to just read the scriptures through to yourself, but go through the whole thing, book by verse by verse, okay? All right? Yes, Mary.
But also call on the Holy Spirit to teach you.
Absolutely.
You know, because that is one that I believe the main, you call on it, and then you call on Him, and then you read, and you will get what God wants you to have.
Yes. For those of you who couldn't hear, she said basically to call on the Holy Spirit. When you read the Word, that's absolutely true. Whenever I give a Bible out, wherever I'm always telling them or writing it, before you start reading the Word for yourself, or if you listen to teachings on MP3, you need to pray and have God teach you. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches you all things, right? If He uses a teacher, praise God. But you better, Lord, I want to only hear from You. As I'm reading this, will You teach me? Pray that every time you read the Word, every time you listen to teachings on the radio, on DVD, on CD, pray and ask for that discernment. Erase from my mind anything that's not from You, and input in my mind everything that is from You. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody else before we close out?
And what confirms that is in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up, to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
Amen.
Him and this word right here. He is the Lord. Here.
All right. Anybody else before we close out in prayer? Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank You for this lovely group, Lord God, that You brought here together, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that You would make us so strong in Your word, Lord God. Not self-righteous about it or arrogant or prideful, but humble. But yet we would stand on Your word, Lord, with the gentleness and the humility and the meekness that comes from You, and we would not move from it, Lord. Filled with Your love, filled with Your spirit, but rooted firmly in the word of God, Lord, bearing fruit that will last. I pray that for each and every person here, Lord God. I pray when those false teachers or people come in or whatever, draw men after themselves, You would make it apparent. And Lord, it would be so apparent because they're so in the Word that they can tell. Lord, I pray by Your Holy Spirit, You give the gift of discernment to more folks in our body, Lord God, that they would be able to discern, Lord, some of those things, Lord God. I pray that You would inspire, Lord, those to read this special script, this love letter, to find out the ending and how we're supposed to fight and where we take those stands, and we wouldn't be compromisers, Lord, like those ungodly men, or use it as a license for immorality, or gray the area, or move the line. You know what I'm saying, Lord. I pray instead we'd be standing firm, Lord God, making our calling and election sure. Lord, we love You, and I pray for Your blessing of Your heart in these people, Your word in these people, Lord God, and Your spirit to lead them. And teach them. And guide them. Me, first of all, Lord, I need it the most. We love You, and we bless You, and we thank You in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. You are loved in the Lord. Don't forget Bible studies all this week. Tuesday, women's. Wednesday, youth. Thursday, share Jesus without fear. Friday, pray.